This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 6:50 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Khoo Swee Chuang and Tan Chung Han for the morning run. That was Rodriguez, Like Janice. Lots of messages, tweets and WhatsApps coming in this morning talking about the, I guess, mismatch in allocation that was given to MPs from different sides of the political divide. We have anonymous WhatsApping. You should tweet it. You should text us your name so we can give you a shout out on air. You say that what if we do away with allocations altogether? MPs' main role is policy and lawmaking anyway. So perhaps give the allocation to local government, which is what we're going to be talking about today on The Breakfast Grill, the need to reinstate local government elections.
Yeah, good point. In fact, I've not seen my local government official ever before.
I think a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, I think unicorn sightings are more common.
Also, we have Tio WhatsApping and saying that you're right, it should be needs-based and request for bigger funds when the need arises. All right. Okay, so let's take a look at this comment made by Berjaya founder and executive chairman Tan Sri Vincent Tan. He reckons the Pakatan Harapan government's decision to accept a 10% pay cut for its ministers is not the best decision. He believes, in fact, that there will be less corruption if ministers and other government officials are well paid. To quote him, in my opinion, in fact, they should be given higher salaries so that they can focus on their work and do it honestly.
Well, there's a grain of truth there, isn't it? Because Singapore obviously has followed that model. Some of their cabinet ministers make upwards of 2 million Sing annually, to some chagrin by local Singaporeans saying that they're too well paid. But I think, yeah, if you get a good candidate, you've got to put your money where your mouth is. Otherwise, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, lah.
Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong's annual income is 2.2 million Sing dollars. Yeah.
Well, again, I'm going to have to go with a different formula then, because, you know, if you do that, then you risk having MPs who perhaps are not or who get further detached from what the local populace is experiencing, right, in terms of cost of living, etc. So it just becomes mere rhetoric for them. So I propose, this is the Han formula here.
So you're going to propose to the Council of Elders?
Yeah, exactly. You guys listen here, okay? So your base will be the average income level of Malaysians. And then you add on a premium to that. So as the income levels of the average Malaysians, not the minimum wage level, but the average wage rises, then you get an increase. So then there's more incentive for them to work harder, raise income level, so that way they get the pay raise.
But Han, I see many flaws in that argument,
sure,
simply because I think, again, coming back to the idea that being a minister comes with a certain level of accountability, same as how you pay CEOs, not the same as, you know, a mid-level manager. The level of accountability is a lot higher.
No, I'm not saying they get paid the same level as the average. So it's the average, use that as a base, then you add a premium, you know, like a...
And how do you calculate that premium?
Well,
and that's the question,
yeah,
right?
Sure. You know, maybe... let's go with doubling. But fine, why not?
What do you think?
So I think the average is like, what, 4,000 ringgit?
No, I think, well, there's two ways, right? Obviously, you've got to shrink the whole public sector in the first place. And by doing that, then you're able to...
So this
have...
is minister specifically, though.
Correct. Well, then,
Vincent Tan is talking about minister specifically.
We've come from 35 ministries, right? We had two education ministries. We had several agriculture ministries. We don't need that many ministries, right? We need more ministries, like we need another hole in the head. We don't need any ministers anymore, right? Special officers and all that. So if we have, say, 10 ministries, like, for example, I think Mahathir wants 25, no more than 30, right? Let's say we have 10 or 15. And then we have some really good candidates, you know, fit for purpose, horses for courses. They do what they're supposed to do, and they come from real backgrounds. If you're going to have a tourism minister, then that guy has come from the industry, right? If you're going to have a finance minister, well, then obviously he's got a whole bunch of alphabets after his name, and he's worked for Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. He knows one or two things about economics, right, for example. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
So luring these people to...
you got to pay top dollar.
You've got to pay top dollar, right? So is the argument then to pay them higher salaries as opposed to cutting them as what we've seen in the past? In the past
years? Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Pakatan Manifesto has a huge element of populism about it, right? Mm. I mean, the whole issue about minimum wage and and this whole thing about GST. I think, you know, we know that GST is inherently positive for the economy in terms of broadening the tax base, right? I think, but the PH government had no choice but to introduce some populist measures to get into government, and they've got no choice but to deliver on those promises.
Well, but then that populism then risks sound fiscal policy. But, you know, I think that's a...
But Rome wasn't built in a day, you see. That's the whole idea. Okay. Well, so I think Mahathir knows
it's
this.
It's only been a month, correct. Guys. Correct. It's right? 1 month anniversary of Malaysia Baru.
But we're talking about the foundations. But anyways, the fiscal policy aside, coming back to the MP's pay, I think, you know, our there have been criticisms against the idea of hiking MPs' pay, you know, just based on this notion that, oh, this will make them less exposed to the lures of corruption, for example, a la Singapore. But, you know, Singapore, like you rightly pointed out, Chuang, you know, within the Singapore population, that, you know, it's just too high, right? Because you compare the 2.2 for...
I think that the premise of the argument is flawed here, because having higher salaries doesn't mean that it can help curb graft. Graft happens when you, because of
the
greed.
Because of system.
Because of greed, because we are inherently greedy. How corruption happens is because there's collusion at every level. Why Singapore doesn't have a high graft problem is because there are checks and balances. Yeah. Everything has to be transparent, right?
Correct.
The problem here is that it's quite opaque in Malaysia.
It's a
you can get
issue.
Away with it.
It's a system issue.
Right.
Well, now I've heard another side to the argument that when it comes to Singapore, some call it checks and balances, but some others call it institutionalized. So that's why you can have Lee Hsien Loong being the prime minister, and then his wife, chief of Temasek.
Well, that's a huge rabbit hole right there. But my burning question really is, when did Vincent Tan become a politician?
Well, that's interesting.
He's a rakyat. He's allowed to,
voice his opinion. But whether that argument makes sense in terms of raise ministers' pay to curb graft.
I think he hasn't thought it through. I mean, he's supportive of minimum wage, which I think also is inherently flawed, right? I mean, minimum wage, $1,500.
Tell me, Chua. Not only does it raise... I fall down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I know.
Not only does it raise the cost of operations for businesses generally, it also... removes the stepping stone from the low-level labourer who wants to get into the job market. And by not being able to go and become a store clerk in Tesco or to go and serve fries in the McDonald's because of minimum wage, he does not have that entry point into the working sector.
Wait, so you're saying the minimum wage raises the entry level for
workers? No. Look, I mean, if you're a Nepalese worker who has been in Malaysia for, say, one generation, and you're a first-generation Malaysian, parents of Nepalese, right? And you don't have the paper or the qualifications to qualify for minimum wage, you cannot enter the labour market.
Well, this conversation has many, many legs. We're going to come back to this. But we have Sabrina Magdalene poised at the mic for the 7 o'clock news bulletin after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.